like today is the first day I feel fantastic.
That's good.
I've been taking.
You get strep a lot, man. What's up with that?
Shut the fuck up, yeah.
Yeah, we try to bring this guy down, get him not sick.
Anything that's not shot on digital by Disney and put digitally in my projector in a theater.
Yep. Shot on Kodiak film?
No film, just digital.
Mm-hmm. Did you watch Star Wars?
I can't answer that.
That's shot on an iPhone. I bet you most of these people...
Parts of it looked like it was shot on an iPhone.
I didn't think any of it looked bad.
I like the parts that looked like... thousands of stormtroopers are storming out of a spaceship onto a planet that was completely unpopulated. That's what I liked.
Right.
That was good.
Also the...
you mean Tatooine 2?
What was with all the Nazi imagery? Like the...
They're ramping it up.
The only few parts I didn't like and that I thought were like... Whoa.
That was always in it, though.
The phrase stormtrooper comes from Nazis.
Yeah.
You know what? Like, all of it was supposed to be Nazis. It was always supposed to be Nazis.
And their outfits just look cool. I mean, let's be honest.
You know what? What's funny is that I watched some old stuff. Actually, I watched... I was turned on to it by a Funny or Die thing, which was three stormtroopers in a bar talking about when the Death Star blew up.
Right.
And they're just like drinking while they talk about it. And the original stormtroop outfits were thinner than the ones they wore in the new one. And it weirded me out. I went back and looked at the stuff in the new one, and I was like, gosh, they look bulky. Like their helmets are bulkier, their shoulders are bulkier, everything was bulkier. So not very slimming, is my point.
No, there are supposed to be some kind of...
Shut the fuck up!
Now, I actually have an interesting point now.
Okay.
You guys follow...
You're not recording, are you?
Yeah.
Max Wheatburn.
Make sure you edit out my swearing.
Welcome to the Futile Podcast. Tonight we're going to talk about Star Wars. We're not going to pull any punches. Max Greenfield?
Max Landis?
Max Landis. He's known for making, putting his foot in his mouth, but making really interesting Twitter points.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, he'll go on a rant, but his stuff's interesting. He basically brought kind of what I felt, which is that...
Who?
Max Landis.
The real... I just said that as a joke. You were serious?
No, yeah, absolutely.
Max Landis.
No, if you follow him on Twitter,
he's like 22 years old, right?
No, he wrote Chronicle. Yeah,
he wrote Chronicle.
He's in middle 20s, I think.
He also wrote...
American Ultra.
I watched that. It was okay.
Yeah,
it was note by note exactly how a movie is supposed to be written. It was very corporate.
But he himself is a really good writer.
Stop sucking these dudes' dicks.
But anyway, he basically brought this point that he called Daisy Ridley's character a Mary Sue. Have you heard this story?
Yes, everyone's talking about her being a Mary Sue.
Yeah. No, which is true because I remember when I was watching it, like maybe the explanation is that she's probably that she's Luke's daughter or something, that everything's explained later on, right? But everything was so easy for her, and it was almost like an idealized character who has nothing wrong with her, and she's good at everything. She doesn't have
I hope it turns out she's racist.
And someone brought up that the only character flaw, that which I don't think is a character flaw, is that she can't let go of the past. Like, she couldn't...
That's not a character flaw.
It's the weakest thing ever.
That's humanity.
She was great, though, but that's... Yeah.
And she does...
And she's hot. She's hot.
Yeah, she has, like, a cute, adorable...
Yeah, I would have sex with her right now on this table. Right now.
Condomless?
In front of both of you.
Yeah. Start off to a good start. 30 years later, huh?
So, wait.
What happened in 30 years? This is an interesting one. I don't know. So, what did you guys actually think about the movie?
I liked it. I here's the thing. I expected what I heard about it in advance, which was it was a remake. This happened. This happened. This happened. It all happened, and it was a remake.
Right.
And I was not disappointed. It was fine. Because what I told you a long time ago was that J.J. Abrams can't make a bad movie. He also can't make a great movie. So his ceiling is low, but his floor is high. Sure. So he's going to make you a B- to B-plus movie.
Right.
He's not going to make anything less or anything more. That's all he can do. He's a corporate yada, yada, yada. But that's perfect for Disney. It's perfect for Disney. It's perfect for money. You know, what else could they want from him? So, anyway, he's an overseer of this franchise. And the first movie in this series has to be it absolutely has to be worse by definition than the other ones. It has to be. It has to be.
Sure.
Because you have to set this stuff into place. Mm. You have to set this into motion.
Sure.
You have to lay this world. And who are you going to have lay a world out rather than someone who knows how to make nothing but, like, blockbusters? So it was a world-laying film, and stuff was weak here and there, you know, but it did so in a reasonable running time. What else can you do? What else can you do, you know?
I mean, he didn't have to lay out a whole world.
He did rewrite it. So him and Kazdan apparently rewrote what the Toy Story 3 guy did.
Michael Arndt.
Yeah.
In 6 weeks. They went to Paris or something like that. They rewrote it in 6 weeks, whatever. But I'm guessing they didn't do much beyond... I mean, Kazdan did a lot of the dialogue, from what I understand.
Which is the best, one of the best.
Yeah, of course, yeah. But, like, otherwise, what do you expect from these guys? Like, it's impossible. Like, if you... It's a thankless job to decide, hey, let's reboot this franchise, or let's continue this franchise. It's completely thankless. What are you going to do?
Well, if you think about what... I mean, I was commenting on this a couple days ago, that it's probably the most anticipated film of our lifetime.
That has to be.
There will be nothing more that we see in the future probably that this is anticipated as this.
Yeah.
And the fact that he made a film that...
Dumb and Dumber 3, maybe.
Dumb and Dumber 3, maybe. But the fact that he made a movie that most people like and most fans enjoyed is a huge statement alone. It's not something that takes risk, but it's something that trades off nostalgia. I don't think it's like an amazing movie, but because of all the things coming coinciding, like the nostalgia, his use of practical effects, like much more so than the prequels.
That said, we talk about this. Despite the quote-unquote reliance on practical effects, all I noticed was CGI.
But there were also better CGI than the prequels. It was like a better, to me...
Better than the prequels, but that's not saying
better.
Much.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
But also beyond that, he set up two great new characters that are...
he did.
You know.
And the stuff that happens... So, the breathless excitement of these characters is something that Lucas could never handle. In the first Star Wars, he did okay. But, like, he never introduced characters after that. They were introduced in the first one. And he never understood how to... I don't know, man.
To make fun not so childish.
Well, it's hard with Lucas because I really like the stuff he didn't make that wasn't Star Wars.
American Graffiti and THX 1138.
Fantastic movies. They're really good movies. They're really good.
And they look really good, too.
They do. I hope that we don't go down in history discounting Lucas. Because...
Well, I don't think...
Oh, hang on a second, you guys. I might have a text.
We should read it aloud.
So, yeah. But what he did with the Star Wars prequels, people act like it's something that completely discounts him as a human, as an artist, as a director, as a producer, as a writer.
As a billionaire.
As a billionaire. Yeah. Like, all these things, you know? Like, it's really... shitty, like it's bad. It sucks that we do that to somebody like that. I mean, and not only that, but he was, he was co-creator and producer of the Indiana Jones movies and this, like, you know, this and that. Howard the Duck, what I mean? Like the great films of cinema.
Radio Land Murders, Red Tails.
Yeah. This guy was behind some of the greatest movies in film history.
He didn't direct for like 20 years. It's like a muscle, you know, if you don't.
He also wanted to do other things.
No, listen,
he wanted it to be a showcase.
You say it's a muscle, but the acting in the prequels is some of the worst acting ever put
in the
studio
script.
Films.
Yeah,
he was in charge of it.
I don't think I will say this on record. I just rewatched all of them,
the prequels too.
The prequels as well.
Which they should reboot next.
I'm thinking that they could do that because
they should.
It's the execution, the technology.
Yeah.
And the acting that's poor, but the plots of
the first
three
are fine.
Work, and they
They're
actually
fine.
Are very
They're fine.
Good.
And you
because
know, you
they
know
set
what's
up
funny is that
everything that needs to happen.
People make fun of the socio-political stuff that happened. That was really good. That's actually I think it needed to happen. It was important, and actually, those films feel fuller.
Yeah.
As a society in this galaxy,
they do.
Then. The 4, 5, and 6 do. They just feel like things happening when you don't know what worlds are populated by who or whatever.
Right. But I think you're catching on something that, which is why 4, 5, and 6 are actually way more interesting. Generally, I don't like prequels in almost all cases, because what makes a story interesting is the backstory and the stuff that, you know, affects the characters. If you take, if you get rid of the backstory,
well, no, a prequel has a built-in lack of tension because you know how things are going to end up.
Yeah.
So that, it already had those going against it. That said, all I really have to say about the prequels, other than what everyone else already knows, is that it is the plot thing. The plot thing works. Yeah. I think that the decision in this new one to a small extent kind of askew 4, 5, and 6, and more greatly to almost completely ignore everything from the prequels is kind of problematic.
Sure.
There's points where you're confused about things. Nothing too major, but like Zach said, the world is more of a societal thing and in the prequels, and then you should have gotten back to that. The Republic is on a planet that's not Coruscant.
Right.
And it either all got destroyed, or it didn't, but that didn't seem like such a big deal. And I was confused there. Are they so scared to deal with anything that was dealt with in the prequels that they're just going to pretend it didn't exist?
Here's what I thought about that.
And because it's not going to make them any money to advertise.
Here's what I thought about that. Despite the fact that there are some emotionally riveting moments in the film, it was very much a kid's movie.
You're talking about the new one?
The new one. And so I think they made a conscious decision to cut the stuff out where people, what was 1 through 3 targeted at? Accountants. Right. Accountants and people who are like city planners.
Yeah.
Things like that.
It was kids. He went too far in the kids' realm.
He did. Yet the plots were about trade embargoes and stuff like that.
No, because he's just out of touch. He's like a god in the cinema world. So
somebody came up with those plots that weren't him.
Well,
somebody had to. Right?
I don't know. No,
you think he came up with trade embargo shit?
Oh no, I think he's, if you read about the guy, he's just a very intelligent guy that he needs to collaborate with people. But I think when you reach a certain point, it's so intimidating for people to give you criticism that it's
so interesting to read the stuff about who directed 4, 5, and 6. Yeah. So he directed 4 or whatever.
Yeah.
But like, Irving Kirshner never directed anything.
Yeah.
And never directed anything afterwards.
He directed RoboCop 2.
Good point.
But he was, I guess, Lucas's instructor.
He was an old USC teacher.
Yeah.
So whatever it was, like, just weird out of nowhere. Like, it's not studio decisions. He never did anything by studio decisions. He did what he wanted to do.
Yeah.
And he had nobody telling him that's a bad idea.
He Kasdan wanted to kill Solo in 4 and 5, and he said, or in 6, and he said, no, I don't want to do that. And then Kasdan finally gets his way here in 7, but.
Which is also a mistake.
Right. Right. No, I think bringing in those other people, bringing in Lee Brackett, so you've got kind of this whippy dialogue between Solo and Leia and Empire and stuff, that's great. You're right. It's that side of it. He needs these other people. I think Empire looks the most cinematic
of
all of them.
It does. It really does.
I was watching Return and this staging is not so well made. It's not as well shot. And
I feel like Return is the best. It's what today's epic movie would have been. It's overlong, and the stuff that happens is monumental,
right,
all the way through. But what the critics say about it still stands today, which is that the first third of it is phenomenal.
The Java stuff's awesome.
That's so good. The first third of the movie is perfect, absolutely perfect, and the rest is like, it's a lot of people screaming and crying against each other, and a lot of waiting. Every time I watched Return of the Jedi since I was a kid, I have been like, I cannot wait for the space fight stuff to be over. And then it cuts to Luke and the Emperor talking. I'm like, oh, I cannot wait till this. When I was like 4 years old, I was thinking this. And the only stuff I cared about, which I guess is to my detriment, is the stuff on Endor.
Right.
Because it was like actually things happening and things, that mattered happening. And the rest of it was people talking and the space fight, like, it's just a foregone conclusion. Like, this is going to happen.
It becomes that way. I thought it was, when I hadn't seen Empire Return in like a long time. And I thought that the three things happened, where they were cutting back and forth between the three elements more than they actually are, or at least in this Blu-ray edition, unless they removed
things. I doubt they did much to it.
Well, I thought that it was more like space stuff, Emperor stuff, Endor stuff. I mean, it is that, but I thought that instead it's much more partitioned, where it's like, then the shield goes down, then they go in and blow up the Death Star, you know, after all the stuff with Luke and the Emperor and all that happens. So it's sequential.
It's sequential
very, instead of...
That's funny. That's his serial. He likes, that's what he was going for, the serial.
Well, yeah. Right, yeah.
Which is fine. That's great. You know, the thing that I... so, I watched the movie, and I'm like, man, Han Solo's in this way more than I thought.
I didn't think he was going to be in it that much either.
He's in it a ton. And then I read afterwards that he got paid 50 times more than any other co-star did. What does that mean? Did any other co-star get paid more than $1 million? That means he got at least $50 million to be in this movie. And he always wanted to be killed off. He doesn't want to be in these. He hates them. He hates life. He hates everyone.
I know.
He hates himself. He hates all of you. And so, like, you know, they came to him and they're like, hey, we'll give you... You already have enough money to die on, and just we'll bury you in a coffin full of money, but we will give you even more money if you're in this movie.
There's something ego going on, too, besides the money, obviously.
I love Harrison Ford.
Because,
I love
no, right, me too. And he's there. It's Han Solo.
No, you know what? He's a good actor.
He didn't feel it, or anything.
He did not. The three good actors in this movie were Harrison Ford, Daisy Ridley, and John Boyega. Everyone else was fake as shit. Everyone else
you had a problem with Oscar Isaac. Was he too exuberant?
His role, he had nothing role.
He didn't have much to do.
He had nothing
but...
except for to be positive.
Yeah, I think he's fantastic.
They started setting him up as the new
Han Solo. He's the best actor in the entire movie.
The sad part is he's
the best actor.
He is literally the best actor in that entire thing.
Right. They gave him nothing.
Not yet.
But what I'm thinking of is Carrie Fisher. They gave her shit.
Yeah,
she's not a bad actress, really.
She hasn't acted in 20 years.
She hasn't acted for a long time.
No, she's just not. She's
and they kept looking. They kept focusing in on her face.
And look, she had plastic surgery.
Fake, man.
Yeah, she's fake. I get why, they were smart to bring her back. It was, you know, there's certain
of course,
things,
yeah,
didn't
had
work
to,
as
had
well
to,
as
yeah.
it could have.
No, that didn't.
And you didn't buy a relationship between. Her
and once again, I don't think that J.J. Abrams...
It was estranged. I thought making it estranged maybe helped, because then they didn't
Totally.
But there was a moment there when you're just kind of like these two people, and stuff's happened that's bad.
This is hard to do.
Yeah.
How do you explain 30 years of backstory?
Same thing with Temple of Doom,
or with
Crystal Skull, you know?
It's really hard.
You got to just at some point say...
Are you defending Crystal Skull?
No, I'm not defending.
I will walk out.
I'm not defending Crystal Skull. I'm saying it's the same problem here. They do a better job of it, but like, who's this Max von Sydow character? Is he supposed to be someone from the other ones? I don't remember.
Saito.
Yeah, I thought there was probably something cut that gave him more.
I'm sure there was a ton.
Well, yeah, there was 30 years worth of plot that happens. And then they said, well, here's what happened. Luke did this, tried to form, and it didn't work out. And then here's some flashbacks, because now... The Force
it'll
works
be
like
out.
Weird
be
magic. I mean, but that's the thing. We're playing this game again. Like,
well, they said, if you read the stuff where they talked about the making of it, Abrams was involved with making sure that the Force was something that existed. Like, they're trying to get away from the
midichlorians.
Midichlorians,
that's
thing.
Fine. But they don't have to turn it into,
so
like,
it's there,
hocus pocus.
And the reason why he explained, when people asked why John Boyega was able to wield a lightsaber.
Right.
He explained that it was something people could pick up and use.
Han Solo uses it to cut a tauntaun open in Empire.
Sure.
It's not a magic weapon. It's got
right.
a button.
Exactly.
So you can use it. John Boyega can use it fine.
But again,
the more problematic part is why does Rey like have magic hearing powers,
she's probably very Force-attuned.
And so
possibly,
she's more attuned
to it,
whatever.
She's without question, either either Rey, she's the sister of Kylo Ren or Luke Skywalker's daughter. One of the two.
Yeah,
she trained with him on the island. They telegraph it completely where he's like, you dream of an island, you know, and then
right,
it's so clearly like
that's where they're gonna train.
You know, they. Yeah, clearly there's some.
I just hope they bring in Lindelof to write. He might turn it down
because he's afraid of being killed.
and then it's all just like, oh, see, wait for the next one, guys.
Well, no, if you look at who they hired Rian Johnson, which
yeah,
is
Johnson, yeah.
one of the best possible choices they could have done. They hired Gordon Miller to do the two of the best comedy writers and just great directors.
Trevorrow does Nine, I think.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that the most. He's probably the only weak link they have in there.
It has to be, because I watched Jurassic World.
I hate Jurassic World.
And I was like, That was a decent movie,
really?
Except for the horrific direction. The direction was so bad.
I
made money.
It was so bad.
That film,
it made a shit ton of money. That's why they hired
it. I would say that film, I hate that movie. Probably my number one film I hate
I felt like any good acting in that was despite him.
Well,
was
no, despite but it's also him. It's just also the... I hate the direction they went in the script and this goofy...
That's not his fault.
No, he wrote it. What do you mean? He went and he got the job.
He
went
wrote
and rewrote
it.
The script.
He wrote it.
It was his pitch. He went in and rewrote the script with his co-writer.
Okay.
And literally, like, it was a different.
So we're
script.
Talking about Jurassic World now. Just to clear.
But basically, it goes back into this that what we're in right now is this a nostalgia era of filmmaking,
right.
which people will look back on 20 years and kind of be embarrassed about it.
Partially.
Certain movies
if
are getting,
it's done poorly.
Like, if there was an actual, if people, critics are not being particularly honest in the reviews in certain movies.
They're not.
Like, if you actually look at Jurassic World, I think it has like an 80%. Like a Rotten Tomatoes, that's a joke. And Star Wars should probably be like a 70 or 80%. Like it should not be where it's at. It's,
well,
it's just.
But Rotten Tomatoes is
yeah.
a bad benchmark
Metacritic
because
is
all
bad.
That is
yeah.
is
a lot of people gave
they,
it a B.
Whether yeah, exactly whether they didn't
yeah.
like it or they did.
It's only
it's
a few
just,
critics I think
line.
Are really like Devin Faraci.
There's almost yeah. There's almost no one who was like this wasn't a good movie.
Yeah.
Everyone is like, it was okay.
It's tricky because you have to actually be fairly nitpicky and critical because it's good enough to be that
yeah.
way. So all the
yeah.
stuff with Rey. I didn't have an issue with her being a good pilot. I thought that her flying the Millennium Falcon at the very
yeah.
was too much.
The issue I had with that was that why was there a functional ship?
Yeah, that was perfectly
that was,
fine.
That was sitting in a junkyard
they could steal.
That they could
yeah.
walk into and
yeah.
fly
steal.
Away.
And
why
yeah,
had no one else?
That was
that?
Really bad
yeah.
too. I remember thinking still, that stuff taking me out of the movie immediately.
Yeah.
Just like what it starts right up. There's no
yeah.
setup there. I mean,
it's
literally button. Like it's like the two big things. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the Mary Sue thing. I mean, the fight was cool. It was cool staging
yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And they give you kind of an excuse with him being injured by Chewbacca so that, you know,
right.
yeah.
Rilo Ken is, like, not in his
But he's, like, max. He's, like, beating himself.
Yeah, yeah, he's using it.
You know what's funny is that, like, they tried so hard to make that character cool, and everyone on Twitter is making fun of him so bad.
Which is exactly right, because
he's
just, it's just the Anakin thing.
I can explain my, two, my
he,
beyond...
He is Anakin. Anakin.
He is.
He's Anakin
yeah.
is a bad
beyond
guy.
Beyond
yeah.
what I've said, like, in terms of... like minor critiques, like
which
the Mary Sue didn't really bug me. There's two things that really, there's two things I think are misfires in the movie. Kylo Ren, a lot of people like him. I think he's a terrible villain.
I think Adam Driver's a good actor.
He's a great actor.
He's a good actor.
He's miscast.
Yes,
and because he, I like all the flaws they made in him, but he's just not intimidating. Like
he's
not
intimidating
villain.
At all. He's not
Daisy. She's able to beat him like her first attempt.
That was
that was
a mistake.
Yeah, it's a very
just
mistake.
Straight
you
up
undermine
mistake.
Your villain, right? And
yeah.
Number two, beyond that, the second one is. The second one is Han Solo. His death was so telegraphed and such
a
repeat
telegraphed.
Of Al,
they told you
death.
It was going to happen
yes.
in like the first act.
And you feel nothing
yeah.
because you don't know any of the backstory with him and Kylo Ren. So you
right.
feel you have no that you should your emotions should. You should
I think they're relying on the fact that they're relying on the fact that everyone who's going to watch this movie has seen all six of the other movies
yeah.
plus everything else 1,000 times.
But they haven't
in their
seen
lifetime.
Anything about. Kylo,
right.
it surprised
You're right.
me to find
right.
out that it's his son.
You're right.
And so you don't
There's know. There's not enough about him.
Yeah, you just know
to,
it's
to make
his
that
son.
Matter. Yes.
And you don't know any details. And so when he kills him, it's just.
Right.
I would say everyone in the audience just kind of. If it was done right, everyone would, like,
right.
flip out.
It
yeah.
falls flat.
Yes.
I'm
going to
show my son. Who's,
falls
yeah.
flat.
My son is 6 years old. I'm going to show him. He will be shocked because what I was telling you was. The movie is made for 6 year olds.
Yeah. Right.
I guarantee you it is.
But then they
yeah.
still have a couple pretty violent deaths in it.
There's a couple.
Like when John Boyega first uses the lightsaber, he
yeah.
uses it to just stab through a stormtrooper.
That happens a couple times.
Yeah, and
you
that's,
know,
pretty
that's
pretty not for 6 year olds.
So some of the other criticisms were like, this guy's a janitor. He's a stormtrooper janitor.
Yeah.
And then he picks up the lightsaber and he's able to kill a bunch of dudes who are trained killers.
Right,
so,
yeah.
Blah 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 blah.
Well, yeah,
that's movies.
That's
movie
movies. Stuff. You can wash over some of that.
Well, tonally, like,
but it does make things fall flat.
There's a couple parts in tonally where I think if you're doing like comedic stuff, you have to be really careful that you're not using the comedy doesn't undermine the believability.
Right,
like, this will go to Kylo Ren when he's told you know, when he starts attacking the thing after Rey escapes, and the two stormtroopers walk out, and they're like, oh.
Yeah.
And they kind of walk back.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that's kind of funny. But I probably would have cut that because it even makes him seem weaker.
What about that scene with Daniel Craig?
Oh, yeah. With the, right. When he's hidden under the... Yeah. Well, a lot of stuff...
Right?
With Daniel Craig... I heard he was a stormtrooper.
He's the stormtrooper where Daisy Ridley tells him that he's going to let her go.
Oh, that's him.
I didn't mind that one as much, but like...
And when they asked him about it before the movie, he was like... He's like, what the fuck? He's like, I wouldn't be in that fucking shit. He was like...
Fanboy.
He was in it. There was like four major actors and like a producer and a couple directors.
I wouldn't want to be in it.
As like stormtroopers like, you know, not credited.
It'd be dumb and fun,
Now, Spielberg was in it too.
No, It's like I start playing that weird game where I'm like one more pass at the script to reposition some things. Like,
it wouldn't matter.
She couldn't fly the Millennium Falcon. And she wouldn't be able to make it fly, and it shouldn't be able to fly. So, if she needs to encounter Han Solo, encounter him on the planet, have that all happen there, and that would make more sense.
Well,
wouldn't have lost his ship.
There's apparently stuff where there are people who've seen longer shots, longer cuts of the movie, and right after she says what her name is to Han Solo, he gives her a look like he knows who she is, and they cut that. Things like that.
Of course he knows she's Luke's daughter. Or something.
Well, something, whatever it is.
My theory is that...
And that's why he asks her to be in the crew.
Yeah.
Right. Yada, yada, yada.
He wants to protect her or something. Right. She was mind-wiped to protect her for some reason.
Something. Whatever.
Okay,
whatever.
That's stupid.
Yeah.
There's actually a term in the Star Wars books.
Ian can't handle mind-wiping, okay? So don't bring it up.
There's actually a term in the Star Wars books, mind erase. They have the memory wiped. I know people who are like...
All
psychotic
the books,
Star Wars
Luke,
fans who read the books. Yeah.
All the books were cut from continent when Disney took over. The extended universe, the EU.
There's still
it's
all
gone.
Kinds of shit that
they sell, they'll mine it
it's
for,
gone. Luke.
Yeah. They'll mine it for stuff they want to use, like
probably.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, that's how they have
so the and the other thing is the lightsaber, which is awesome because like I love that. I love that someone found where it landed in Bespin and went and got it.
Yeah.
But then they ask the question. And then the question is dismissed, and
I'll tell you another time.
Yeah, and why even ask the question? And if it's such an important item, it's so like important. Even though it's hard to identify its importance,
it's not that hard to identify
from the prequels. No, from the prequels,
Kylo Ren when she lit it up was like, "That's my lightsaber.
Yeah,
give it to me."
No, he can feel it, right? But and so it has this. It's this touchstone that. Though you have to wonder how important the thing actually is, because I mean, when did Anakin actually get it? He gets it. He either gets it after he loses one fighting that in the Clone Wars.
Yeah, which lightsaber was it? Because he used like 15 of them.
So it's sort of not that big a deal, but it is.
Was it the one he used when he killed the younglings?
It was, and it was the one. You can at least identify it because Obi-Wan Kenobi picks it up in the third one.
I like when that
inexplicably
whining,
just
that
picks
whining
it up.
Emo bitch suddenly kills like 20 kids. That's my favorite part.
That's a real disturbing, especially considering like 10 minutes before that he was like, "No, we have to let this guy live." So it's like,
So what,
the third one. It's all just bad execution.
The third one is a better movie.
It's
than
better,
the second one.
Better than the second
the
one.
The first, for sure.
But you can't course correct at that point. Once you started in the wrong path.
Well, because
at some
point, three quarters of the way through, he was like, "Oh shit, we got to make him bad.
Yeah,
we got to make him bad quick."
If the first,
let's have him kill a bunch of kids.
If the first movie had a similar kind of quality to this one, with like the characters, the two leads that are going to be the leads being a little older, seemingly, and like more of that. Then they could have set things up in a much better way, and then the prequels could be. So like you said, you could remake the prequels with almost the same plot, but just modify a few other things. Maybe start the Clone Wars.
I've been watching
the first one.
I haven't in a while, but my son watched the Clone Wars cartoon.
I've heard that has good stuff in it.
And it's crazy. Like, you hire legitimate TV writers to write a show. It's so good. The characters are, like, full. And they have motivation and reasons. And Anakin isn't just, you know, he's in the middle and he's in the gray area all the time. And he's training this girl, but he also continually does things he's not supposed to do because of his anger or whatever else. Right? Like they're given this free reign to do this stuff. And, like, Lucas just, he didn't know how to do it. He had no clue.
Yeah. And, like, I think, like, Luke has a good point, though. Not having that, team of people that you really do. It just goes towards a certain level of, I mean, hubris and then just missing the mark. I just watched a director's series. It's on Netflix, but I don't think it was originally aired on Netflix. It's really lo-fi, but they have one with Coppola, and it's only like 20
Robert
minutes.
Robert Rodriguez's show.
Maybe. And then there's one just talking with Lucas, and I mean, yeah, he's got a lot of hubris. I mean, he's like, well, when I first started making movies, I won awards and figured out this is something I can do. And then it's like, yeah, you did, and you made some good stuff. Then you took 20 years off. Then you came back, and then he's like, well, art is about technology and stuff. He just had the wrong intentions when he made them in a lot of ways. He really wanted to push all of these other boundaries of technology. Yeah. I mean, you know, that second one shot 1080p, for crying out loud. It's almost entirely digital, and it didn't age well, and it... I mean, and that's what you're focusing on. I mean, it's almost like if he had just produced it and hadn't directed it and had shared writing, maybe these things could have been fixed.
It's so hard to say.
It's pointless to get by that now.
It's so hard to say because, you know, you got this writer and that writer working on this stuff, and who knows how many uncredited writers aren't working on those things. But direction is so important.
Right.
And what you've always said is bad acting is a direct result of bad direction.
And bad screenwriting, bad casting.
Sure.
To me, it starts with a bad script.
Right.
But you've got these people who are considered gods in production. Kathleen Kennedy, this person.
It's not...
Like, how are all these people involved, and they don't tell Lucas, like, this is garbage?
I think literally that if you have a ton of money, if you have a... He has $100 million per movie.
Yeah.
I think that if you have... He actually said the actors he had are not bad actors.
They're not bad actors.
You know
what's funny is that Hayden Christensen is generally considered a bad actor, yeah. But like the two movies I've seen that he was in that he wasn't Anakin Skywalker, he's not bad, and he's playing a whiny bitch in them,
yeah,
like Shattered Glass and that
even
that
little
movie with
bits
Kevin
of
Kline,
the third one
like that. Sure,
yeah,
even
little
listen,
bits of the starting the course correct.
He's not a bad.
He was
actor.
Miscast.
He could have cast.
If you miscast something. He could have cast any actor, young actor in Hollywood would have.
I remember when they announced who they cast.
Yeah,
and
people were
like,
"What?"
I was like, "Who's this guy?
Yeah.
Who's this guy? Like, yeah. Seriously?"
There's no way it could have won.
Jake Lloyd was a problem.
But they
whatever. Kind of,
but whatever. Again, most
it's a kid actor, you know.
Yeah. Like Steven Spielberg, if Steven Spielberg was directing it,
he would have had the kid who played Data.
He would have cast, you know, worked with kid actors. Like, if you want a kid that's going to give you this an E.T. like performance, that's probably, it would take years to find the kid.
For sure, yeah.
Or whatever, I mean, it would just be a challenging thing to do.
And you just cut out the kid.
Yeah.
Like I said, you just
don't do the
kid
see,
part. And
I just think in general, everyone knows the story of the prequel.
Right, no one knew about the Clone Wars.
If you're giving, unless you're giving an interesting
yeah.
take on it, what is the point?
Is it,
you already know what's going to happen.
Why not make when they found Anakin, why not make him 12 years old? 13 years old. There's plenty of 15 year olds.
I'm going to go into like what, like the backstory of the third one may have, and it works in Star Wars, may have been that he kills a bunch of kids, right?
Sure.
It doesn't fit tonally with the tone of the other later movies.
Huh.
So you're kind of cheating, basically, because it doesn't
really
cheating.
Work. It was cheating to make yes. it like, so 4, 5, and 6, Darth Vader is this.
Yeah. You don't see him ripping off somebody's skin, though. You don't see him killing.
No, you don't. But he's this
yeah.
tonal force of evil
yeah.
who's just unstoppable and whatever.
Yeah.
Blah, 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 blah. So like they had. So you got the first movie and the second movie, and it's just this whiny bitch who's
yeah.
who's you know is going to become Darth Vader. So they, at some point they had to be like, well,
how do we do that?
How do we do that? How do we like? So like, what's the cheapest way out?
I mean,
kill a bunch of kids.
I just can't believe he didn't. He should have done what Disney did. I don't get why he just didn't. People like the characters in Star Wars. They don't need the prequel characters.
Right.
Like, that's so difficult. What he tried to do was so hard, it's doomed to fail.
Oh, for sure.
And wow. He could have easily done exactly what Disney's doing. And everybody would have loved it, too. Like, he could have even screwed it up.
You know what's funny is that what Abrams did with Kylo Ren
yeah.
is 1,000 times better than what Lucas did with
yeah.
Anakin Skywalker.
As, yeah,
and
as,
we're bitching about it. We're
yeah.
complaining about it.
Well,
it is so much better. It is so,
I didn't have a problem
it's
with it.
It's cinematic. It's easy. It's quick. It's explained in 3 scenes.
Right.
That's how screenwriting is supposed to be done.
Just think about the pressure and the level of...
I didn't have a real problem
faces.
With that. I mean,
there's not really the problem,
if there is a problem, is just the fact that... And like I said, it's the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull thing. They wait too goddamn long
Stop
to do these...
that movie. It doesn't exist.
To do these movies, and you... Invariably, if you're going to involve original people, then you're connecting the dots.
Right.
part of me was like, maybe they should have just not had anybody from the original ones and just done a new story.
They couldn't have.
They asked Spielberg for the next one, like, who are you going to recast as the Indiana Jones?
I do like that.
And he's like, nobody. The only Indiana Jones is Harrison Ford. The guy's like 80 years old.
You pushed it a lot. I believe that. They should have never made part four. But
they should never
maybe make a five just to try to. I don't know,
just to clean it up.
No. Yeah, the message.
It becomes a different scenario though, because like, how awesome would it have been? We should have just got an Indiana
Jones.
You liked the show.
And it was a different actor.
The show
right?
was cool.
It was a different
the
actor.
Show,
right?
The first season with the little kid wasn't as good, but the show
just,
was good.
Yeah.
The show.
I agree that you cannot recast.
They could have done.
You could recast Indiana Jones. It'll just be really bad.
It would be great.
I don't think
you should. I'm
gonna be honest. I don't.
The character's not that great.
I don't think you should recast stuff. But think about like the Mad Max movie.
Yeah. But it's
a clean transition.
But
if you get a good actor and a good actor,
well,
it's
interesting
a clean
you bring
transition.
That up, though. But see, when I watched the Mad Max Fury Road, which I think is a spectacular movie,
fantastic.
I watched the entire movie and I'm like, man, if you had Mel Gibson in this movie, it would be so much better. Tom Hardy is
great. You
know
what? I kind of agree.
Yeah, Tom Hardy
agree.
Is
really
good
do.
In it, but his character is so different. He went so different. He literally let Charlize Theron's character take over the entire movie. She is the lead of the movie. She
that was
dominates
a, that was
him.
That was the point. However,
yeah.
that's
that was,
the way
that
it's
the
always
point.
Been in Mad Max.
No, you're right. You're right. But
he's never
what
been the lead
saying,
of
what
the story.
He's saying
he's
is
the charisma.
Mel Gibson exudes even when he's shutting up and his mouth is shut. He exudes charisma. He is obviously your eyes go to him. Tom Hardy is a cipher. He's there.
He's so good.
He is very good. Yeah. He's fantastic. And he plays these under. Did you see Revenant?
Yeah.
I've heard that he's fantastic in it, and he once again doesn't talk.
He plays like the most evil man alive.
Right.
Like the most. I'm not gonna Revenant is like an overrated movie, but it's pretty good.
Is,
but like,
is Leo gonna win an Oscar for
I don't
him
know. It's hard. I never predict what they do. Right. Like the fact that people think Birdman's the best film of the year, that's a joke in its own right. But like,
oh, it's him again.
So. Yeah. The movie's good. It's just that Tom Hardy is like what you're saying. He's a character actor that can play any role, but he's not necessarily a likable.
He's never likable. You know what's funny is
where
that
is.
The perfect example of him is I like him a lot. I think he's fantastic, and I would cast him in anything. That movie This Means War with him and Chris Pine, romantic comedy.
Saw it,
romantic comedy where they're both CIA agents.
Does it work?
And you could have put anyone, absolutely anyone, in his role. He does. He's just evaporates into the scenery. He's not there.
Yeah, no,
he's
saying,
not
he's,
there.
You buy the
Chris Pine is noticeable.
Tom Hardy is so good that you just believe the characters
you believe that it's a real person. That's not a movie.
Yeah, in Mad Max, he's kind of grunting. He's just kind of a side supporting.
It was
character.
Good. I think it was fine. I don't think he was a problem.
It's the brilliant filmmaking. It's not his performance.
It's George Miller.
Right.
It's George Miller.
It's overwhelming. Like.
It's the director of Babe 2.
Yeah. To his credit, though, and I saw this in the trailer, Hardy gets the smirk right of Max. Yeah. There's once or twice, right before the woman dies, you know, Jason Statham's wife or girlfriend or whatever, right before she dies, and he gives her that little, nod smile. Like, that is, that one thing that he got from Gibson that is Max.
Yeah.
And that alone was good enough for me. You're right. It was more. It was definitely.
It is.
It's Furiosa's movie. But Thunderdome is all about Tina Turner
Mel Gibson,
and the other woman.
At this point in his life, is an abhorrent, leathery, racist sack of shit. And I watched, Get the Gringo.
That's a good movie.
He's great. He's just great, man.
I mean,
movie. You follow him, and he's got these eyes. That emote and express, and you care about his character, even if he's the worst guy in the world. You know?
I think that if you had put Mel Gibson in that movie, it would have made probably double the amount of money. The IP, intellectual property of Star Wars, I don't think relies on talent. Stars.
It doesn't
need the stars,
right? It doesn't at all.
So they made the choice that we're going to get people,
and that would overshadow it, really.
We'll sign him to a 9-picture deal, and they probably got paid. Like John Boyega probably got paid a couple hundred grand to do the movie, probably something
that's
like
crazy.
That.
Crazy.
Because
crazy.
People get paid a lot less than you think. That's a guess.
That's insane.
You know? But
really?
Why would they pay him $1 million? Why would they do it? He's a no-name actor.
You're right. I understand what you're saying.
Isn't the price tag
for even the cheapest shit in a Star Wars movie
Well, no, because if you look at a SAG minimum for him, a SAG minimum is $3,000 a week or something like that, right? And so he
well, he probably shot for like 6 months or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. But whatever, they probably paid him maybe 200, 250, if I had to guess. And then they'll give him bonuses for how much money it makes. So all in all,
they don't give him points or anything like that.
They would never give him points. No way. John Boyega is going to be in probably all four or five of them, right?
Yep.
He's not. They're not going to just pay him two. They'll give him a raise. They'll give him a bump. So he's.
That's irrelevant. That's irrelevant.
Yeah, they want him half.
He's going to five movies from now. He's going to be in something. He's going to be in some sort of blockbuster thing where he gets paid $20 million.
Yeah, exactly. So he's. Yeah,
here's where the money is made for Disney. Star Wars is the most bankable merchandise franchise on the earth. They're bulldozing half of Disneyland. This movie talks so much, and so much of the backstory is exposition.
30 years.
So much of it is exposition.
30 years. You got no
everything a character explains about their backstory is exposition,
mm-hmm.
and I'm fine with it. I'm tired of being told that it's not okay to do. I'm tired of being told
that. But I think that,
and I understand that it's better when it doesn't happen. But it's impossible to do in some of these cases.
To do all of it. Because
people also
they explain.
But they also
they explain Kylo Ren. They explain.
Yeah, again, but
Finn's backstory. They explain Rey's backstory.
Reverse engineer good writing. And
it's impossible.
It is impossible. It's enigmatic. It's weird. No one. You can. There's certain tropes. That certain
look at some of the greatest screenwritten movies, like Chinatown.
Yeah. So the
main characters,
yeah.
you don't have a backstory until it's told to you later on. But it is told to you. His character is told to you, or the one defining moment in his life is told to you. It's not shown to you.
If it's done right, Quentin Tarantino violates every single rule.
Every
constantly.
Yeah, of course.
Filmmaking's alchemy. Yeah. Writing is alchemy. You don't know.
It works or
it
doesn't, and then they reverse engineer it afterwards.
Well, I think the thing is, it's like they say, show don't tell. But the thing is, what you're really doing is you're telling by showing, and showing by telling to a weird way. So
you know,
a character can give a bit of backstory about something, but it's about how they say it, what they choose to say.
It's
how it's then a performance.
If there's conflict and stuff,
no, it's a performance. You know, it's like the way. I mean, the Luke's backstory is told to us twice about the Kylo Ren thing. But when Han tells it, it has an emotional resonance because he's talking about his son and he's talking about his friend.
Yeah.
And that's far better than this holographic, giant, CG, evil bad guy just sort of laying out stuff, being like, because he's your father. And
that was the least menacing thing to me, was
Andy Serkis or whatever.
Andy Serkis is...
Well, it was a big question mark, too.
And the other one I have, the other question I have is, so everyone keeps talking about a Mary Sue.
Yeah.
Daisy Ridley's character is not a Mary Sue.
Mm.
Maz Tanaka's character is a Mary Sue. It's somebody who pops up out of nowhere and helps everybody. That was the what's the girl's name?
Alien?
Won the Oscar
Lupita,
for Lupita Nyong'o
Yeah, she was good. I mean,
she's fine.
But they wouldn't analyze but it was just it goes back into like the manic pixie dream girl. It's always that it's just clearly they made a conscious choice in this movie that they wanted to create a strong female character that does not rely on men. And they went on every decision they wanted to make it. See, he's not saving her.
That's three characters.
It felt
that's
very
four
fresh.
Characters in the movie.
It felt very fresh. I liked it because I liked that it wasn't so much him saving her. There's a bunch of motivations that could be originality. They like that tone or whatever. But
you know what's funny is that she
was great still.
And I feel like the movie was overall so strong that I can forgive stuff that is otherwise completely garbage, which is the fact that, like, they find Captain Phasma, who's played by the Game of Thrones lady, the big lady, and they put a gun up to her head, and she shuts down their...
like, you won't get away with this! Everyone's going on about the Silver Sound Trooper badass woman.
When they need to attack the planet... of course, there's one weakness.
It takes them five minutes
to figure this
and
out.
I mean, the thing about the
and
remake...
you travel light speed, you can get anywhere in like 20 seconds.
The Star Wars movies...
I wasn't guarded properly.
The Star Wars movies have kind of always... I mean, I think in this one, it's pretty bad because there's no downtime while traveling, hardly any.
Yeah.
And in all the other ones, there always was just a little bit. Even like the first one, they go from Tatooine to Alderaan. There's a few.
They're playing chess.
He's doing the training with the blast shield and stuff. The training. Hooray. How about that? And in this one, there's not as much of that. And then they make that weird mistake.
You're talking about
in five.
What's that phrase you love?
The bitter work?
The bitter work.
Yeah, there's no bitter work. We can get to that.
There's no bitter work.
Mind wiping, he likes that.
No. So you've got this...
He doesn't like Harry Potter.
You've got
no
this sense. You've got this sense of, like, a very constricted universe or galaxy where the planet that they're on, they can see the weapon being fired from the other planet, and it's destroying that other planet. And it's like, yeah. I don't... This doesn't, you know, these aren't all moons of the same system.
The first mistake you made was that that's what J.J. Abrams' stuff, that's what it's like. It's like you start to, like, lost, you start to think too hard about it.
No, I've always been critical of Lost.
Star Wars.
Always been critical of,
wait a second,
of Abrams.
It's funny
that,
because
he doesn't
time,
need to be that, which is lazy.
For the first
writing.
Time the other day, somebody said something where I was like, holy crap. It was for Star Trek 2, it was for Into Darkness, whatever. And they were like, If they needed his blood, why didn't they get it from any of the 50 other bodies that they had?
They didn't have them at the time.
Shut up, Ian!
Because right? they beamed over all of the torpedoes. Or maybe they pulled the bodies out. That's a good point. You might actually be back. I think they took the bodies out.
But it just, you know, the whole thing about the backstory and the lightsaber... Do you think that whatever explanation they give will be satisfying?
No,
not a single explanation they've ever given that was satisfying.
I am so fine with that, but
it's all fine.
But it sucks that they it's the mystery box bullshit from Abrams. Yeah. It's like, here, I'm going to draw your attention to this thing that I'm not going to answer. Fuck you, don't
there is
do
no
that.
Answer, yeah.
Here's what should have happened in the rewrite, you know, when they run into Han Solo sooner, and so that's what the Millennium Falcon thing is, and so she doesn't know how to fly it that well at the beginning, which would be fine.
Well,
she started to learn it.
She bumped it into the ground a few times.
She was navigating through a destroyed Star Destroyer, like Lando, through
the Death Star. She flies up.
Yeah.
That was a good scene.
And you can go with that, but she has no knowledge.
With Mary Sue, that's why.
No, I don't care about that stuff, though. I'm not trying to make a point here, I'm just trying to say that where it's weak there, and it sucks because some of it's so great.
Now,
is like, so you've got, so when she first is introduced to Han Solo, you know, Finn is like, oh, you mean the guy from the whole, like, actual Star Wars movies and all that cool stuff? Yeah. She's like, no, the smuggler. She's not even really aware of all of that stuff. Of course, then later she says Darth Vader, like she knows all about it.
Luke Skywalker's, I thought it was a lad.
Yeah, she thought... So the fact is that... So you've established that she really doesn't know much about this Jedi Force stuff. Maybe at all. Which is problematic if you're going to give her this kind of really intuitive quality with it. So, okay, so with the lightsaber, she's scavenging. She should just have found that, like, in the first minute you see her. And who cares where how she finds it? And then she's carrying it around the whole time. Maybe she's just messing around. That would at least give you some explanation for her... Because the first time she holds the lightsaber and isn't trepidatious about it, she wields that thing like a pro and takes down your main...
She's probably done it before. Right. I think she must have done it before. She trained.
I don't believe that.
I think she's a Jedi
Master.
That's
really stupid. If she was a 3-year-old Jedi Master.
That's what they said. That's
children.
What they set up, though.
Children. You guys are arguing about it.
Here's the funny thing. This is the question actually.
Major,
can we talk about Bridge of Spies?
It would have been a very simple thing to make it work.
Now, do you think that the reason why people are up in arms about a Mary Sue is that some guys are upset that women are finally getting, like, the Steven Seagal equivalent. Basically, women are finally getting these characters that are badasses that can't be beaten.
Listen.
Those are lame when they're men, too. We have to finally see these
characters.
There's something you don't understand about Steven Seagal's role, which we've been exploring for a long time now. Steven Seagal is not a good guy.
Yeah.
He's the bad guy.
He's
the villain in every film.
It's not the shit
and
out of you for
and
saying
it's
that.
From the viewpoint of the villain, because he can't be beat, and everyone who even comes close to touching him, he brutally hurts and then kills. There's one of the funniest things we saw. What was the movie, the prison one with him and Stone Cold?
Stone Cold. He breaks the guy's arm?
So what did he say to the guy?
He goes, does it hurt?
He breaks some guy's something. And he goes, does it hurt? And the guy goes, yeah. And he goes, you fucking pussy. And then he kills
him. I went to a thing last year called Seagalology. It was like, it was like six of his movies programmed.
Oh my gosh.
And at the end of it, at midnight, they called him and he answered. Yeah. And he was asking questions. And he sees, like, hey guys, thank you very much for these movies. For watching these movies. mean so much to me. And he's very serious and soft-spoken and like nice.
We know.
He's my personal hero.
Yeah, and I love him.
And he weighs 480 pounds. And nobody's even noticed.
Yeah,
nobody's noticed.
My buddy works at a company where Seagal wants to do some movies for.
Okay.
And he said that when he met Seagal a couple times.
Yeah.
He said that he actually got the jump on Seagal a couple times and startled him when he walked around a corner. Yeah.
And Seagal's like, oh shit!
He also swore a lot. He like swore every other word.
Maybe.
I love him. I wish he was my dad.
I actually really want to meet him.
So. So back to the
back to Star Wars.
You want characters. Let's say it's the bitter work thing again, right?
Here we go. Bitter work.
Luke doesn't even face Vader in the first movie, and then in the second one, he gets his ass handed to him.
Yeah.
Because Vader. I mean, you want the strong villain, and it's effective. Yeah. And in the third one, it's even more complicated. He's really not that
powerful. Not an easy fight.
But
it's believable,
right?
And so that's what it comes down to. I have no problem with her being a good pilot. I mean, I think the Millennium Falcon stuff was a bit too much, and that's for a lot of other reasons. It shouldn't have just started immediately. I mean, these are all like things that make your tension.
Why was the key in it?
He should have kicked the shit out of her at the end of it. She should have barely escaped.
So here's what's going to happen.
Next movie is her learning how to fight.
Well, no, the fissure could happen, or what I was really hoping for, just as to scratch my fanboy.
Full penetration sex.
No. I mean, when that crawl comes up and the first words are Luke Skywalker, I'm like, yes. I was so hoping they were going to have an awesome hero entrance at the end and, like, have him come in and,
have a great scene with him.
Well, right.
It was a good scene of him staring.
That is probably my number one moment of the year. I love that. Yeah. But, and fine. But everything else ends up feeling flat because, like, that fight was too easy and didn't make sense. And then R2-D2, who is awesome, who's the best, just kind of wakes up when it's time to wake up. R2-D2
is a sack of shit.
R2-D2 is awesome. R2-D2 doesn't get his memory wiped.
The fact that George Lucas
says he's 80 years old.
Yeah. He's the through line.
He is the through line.
Hero of the series is bullshit.
He's sitting there doing nothing. Well, yeah.
What do you mean? He's reprogramming
here's
stuff.
Here's what's
going
to happen. Here's what's going to happen. They're going to have to make Snoke, whatever the hell guy's name is.
Yeah.
A complete and utter murderous badass. They have to. They have to at this point. They have to.
Because Kylo Ren has gotten
too
complicated.
And then in the second... So in the second one, he's going to have Kylo Ren do something horrific. He has to do something worse than just killing Han Solo.
He's got to kill a bunch of villagers. What else are they going to do?
Yeah. Or kids.
He's committed genocide. He's killed kids.
So the kids in episode 3 were like 6 years old, right?
These are the younglings.
Maybe he'll kill a bunch of 5-year-olds.
Okay.
4-year-olds? Yeah, anybody?
No, we get it. It's a cynicism about how
he
goes
into a nursery. There's a bunch
of
babies.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of babies in swaddling clothes and the things. And it shows piece of piece as he hacks them in.
He just takes down a whole clone army before they even had a chance to gestate.
No, not clones. Like real people.
Right.
Yeah, white people. Okay. You know, white people.
Right.
Not Pacific Americans.
And they get into the I mean, it's just an inconsistency with that character, which isn't too big a deal. I like the complexity. Of some of it, but like, I'm sorry, but he stopped a blaster with the Force.
I know.
And that was awesome.
Yeah.
But that guy's not going to get his ass handed to him by someone who hasn't wielded a lightsaber.
He would have went with this.
Well, he pushes her into a tree.
He did that, and then he's trying to grab the lightsaber, and she takes it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can with the lightsaber, you can create. It's this touchstone of Skywalker, whatever. I can take that. They could have had a battle like they did. It just the way it turned out doesn't.
Yeah.
It's just like you're sitting there and you're writing it and you're like, well, but she knows none of it. Well, it's like, yeah, but we're not talking about midichlorians or any of that kind of stuff. This is all just about like the sheer magical power of the keep it mysterious, keep it whatever.
Did you guys like that line where? He's got the lightsaber pressed on hers, and he says the phrase, the Force, and she's like, the Force?
Yes.
And then she closes her eyes for a second.
You gotta push her off!
What the hell was that?
Yeah, why'd he stop?
What was that?
I love when people have beats like that in a movie where someone says something.
They're like, oh, yeah, you're right.
Completely vulnerable. Okay.
Oh, you're
right.
It's just weak stuff that you think, you're right, you talk about all this paint-by-numbers, all this corporate stuff. I'm sorry, but one more fucking pass and you solve a lot of these problems with very
a
easy
pass
fixes
by who?
And changes. I don't know, somebody that
the
just...
The executive producer, director, and writer?
Yeah.
Who's going to approve the pass?
Exactly.
I mean,
these guys
have got to know that these things are weak and flawed. Well,
they know in the editing room.
No, but you know before that. When you're reading the story and it's flowing through and you're like, okay, so then... So when did she get a chance to get strong enough to
when they asked J.J. Abrams,
maybe she shouldn't
movie,
beat him, you know?
Do you think that he got any sort of guarantee that he would have complete final say over the outcome?
Hell no.
So why didn't someone in the studio be like, hey, like, have some...
What do you mean? I mean, compared to most of the films they've done, like Pirates of the Caribbean, this is a masterpiece. What do you mean?
Oh, no, I agree. I agree. I absolutely agree.
Yeah.
But, like...
If we use lowest common denominator, then that's always going to be the end of
but
it.
But that
and
is...
Nothing
that,
ever gets better.
No, but to give them credit, though, that they're definitely not... They hired Rian Johnson. They hired...
They hired people who have made heady stuff.
Yeah.
And you know what? You know what? We make fun of J.J. Abrams. He's made heady shit. It doesn't make sense. But one of the reasons why he became so successful is because he made stuff that was more mysterious and cool... Than
right.
other stuff that was
yeah,
out there,
just,
TV,
know,
whatever.
Yeah,
like you know,
sure.
he's had his hands in things that
he has good taste in. What
he has good taste.
Do.
He
yeah.
has great taste. And
it's
at some
like a
point
comic
along
book
line,
artist that's a good comic yeah. book artist. It's like Jim Lee or someone.
Sure.
If you finally put him with a good writer, then it will actually be the whole package. But by and large,
you know what?
It's usually
I,
like
I
it
think,
looks good, but it's not.
I think
that
he's
great.
Probably a better writer than his writer.
Yeah. Oh, this guy's been selling scripts since he was like 22 years
Maybe
old.
Maybe
he
Regarding
is.
Henry.
He is. He's yeah. Like, he's,
what?
No,
yeah.
he's a better writer than he's a better writer than any of the writers
yeah,
who've been working.
What the hell with a couple of flaws?
Lindelof and all those guys who came out of his had of his school. He's
yeah.
a better writer than all
but
of them.
But that stuff... But yeah. like, look at me. Like I don't know shit. And I can look at that and be like, okay, that thing are problems. What if you did this? I mean, it's really
I think it's
like
also
you,
the fact that he's that he does not... He has a committee of... He
is
not a final say.
And stuff.
He's working with a lot of other people.
You're probably
just,
right. You're probably
and
right.
And he's also working under an
but
insane
it's not,
schedule.
I don't... Yeah.
And he understands. Here's the thing. The people
yeah.
who make that much money...
Right.
They're not people who put their foot down about
can,
things.
Can you imagine, like... You're like 6 weeks out.
They don't put their foot down.
You're 6 weeks out from production and you're rewriting the script. That means you have no casting.
It's not a whole rewrite though. It doesn't require
but it
character
could,
changes.
When you're talking about her finding a lightsaber in this location rather than something else, and this and this and this.
Well, because it gives more time.
Not just that. You could be talking about changing the budget by $20 million. You could be talking about seriously, like
yeah.
Like with a budget of that much,
a lot of the crazy shit that you deal with budget. Like
she would have had to go down to that cash.
Once you do budgeting,
she would have found it where she was her shit.
Budgeting and stuff, and scheduling, you're forced to make some crazy decisions.
I'm
because
sure.
It's a lot of times. It's,
which is why you.
It's not Bodega. It's Harrison Ford. It's these people who can.
Right.
You know, I don't know. It's hard to say. I think the bottom line is that there's a bunch of obvious flaws in the film. But the fact that he made a film that most people seem to generally like is a huge accomplishment because everybody is looking to trash him. Every single person.
No, I think
yeah.
everyone was... It's been far enough removed from the prequels
yeah.
that everyone really did want this to be good.
But we would have been a feeding
doesn't matter
frenzy
if
it
doesn't
bad.
Matter if they wanted it to be
yeah.
good. Everyone wanted the first three to be good, and they knew by the third one that it wasn't going to be.
I remember
and
when
so
I was watching the first one, I really was like giving it a break for a while.
I gave the first one so much of a break, and I was 20 or whatever.
Yeah,
right,
and you're
right,
just
and
like,
I was
man.
Like. And after I saw it, I was like, you know what?
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah,
I
said the same thing.
I like the pod racing scene. That was pretty good.
That's kind of cool.
And then,
you know?
And then, like, a year later, I was
this
like,
sucks.
That was the worst
Can
movie
we all
I've ever seen.
Sucks.
Yeah, no.
The only movie that I have truly been so disappointed by that I felt
yeah.
like dying was Indiana Jones 4.
Right.
During the
Not
movie.
Not dying? I feel like you're dying.
Did you see it with me? So,
yeah,
so
I saw it in LA. Yeah.
Me and, like, 10 people went.
Yeah.
And Ryan was so high and drunk that he fell asleep like 20 minutes in.
Yeah.
And when he woke up, he was like, oh, man. He's like, oh, that was good, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, no. He's like, what? And I was like, oh, it was so bad. He's like, what?
He said, that's amazing.
I should have told him.
Go see it like the next night.
Well, some things you just can't quite get right. But I mean, I don't know. I feel like it's those things are nitpicky to a degree, but just whatever. So it is what it is.
Yeah.
by and large, yeah. I mean, they had characters that were they introduced new characters. Things were pretty fun. It moved along at a pretty good pace. I think that the stuff on Solo's other ship, with the CG tentacle monsters and the other bounty, like, that was unnecessary.
You were saying that, and they cut some stuff out of that.
Someone told me the theory that, because you see the guys that show up, the guys from the raid.
Yeah.
So they didn't cast that guy for his kung fu skills.
Right. Yeah.
So I think that what probably happened was, somewhere around there, Harrison, when he broke his leg on set. Right.
Probably, yeah.
They had to change. I bet you that's what happened.
That's probably, but I wouldn't have wanted to see 20 minutes of kung fu. Yeah.
It was good. It seemed really out of place for this, like, monster.
Yeah.
Like,
and it was killing the pace of the chase and stuff. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah,
that's what I think happened.
That was a scene that shouldn't have existed, and then they could have put him on.
I didn't have a problem with it, and I felt like, once again,
these are nitpicks. I'm admitting
Boyega and Ridley are so good as actors at this point.
They have good chemistry too.
Good chemistry that they exude. You know, at no point in the film did you not believe that they weren't exasperated or scared.
She's so Daisy really is so
very emotive. Very emotive.
All of them. Almost to the point of, like, over the top, but she does. She
but fantastic.
It, right.
But that's really
a Star
good.
Wars.
Yeah. And so,
it's a space opera.
And she's very, like, you know,
through
intense.
All their scenes together, especially, like, they're running from something. It's like, it's being scared, you know? It's like,
you also root for her because she is an underdog in her own way that she, you know, she's like, these are some of the smart screenwriting things on it that she's an underdog. She busts her ass just to get enough food to survive.
Right.
And she's a kind person. She saves the droid. She saves the droid. She does things out of selfless. And you can't help but like her. That's screenwriting stuff. If you actually have a script shadow, he broke down, like, why he liked the movie.
Right.
And he had a lot of interesting stuff. He thought it was a great script. And he had a lot of, like, real decent reasons for why. But,
well, yeah, the good things are good. It's mostly good. It's just,
it's like, you know what? I like
three
this,
things.
I like
kind
the
of
script
cool.
for this $300 million budget movie. I'm going to tell you why.
Yeah.
I love it. Pay me $1,000 for script
notes. Yeah. No.
You suckers.
I don't know. But, I mean, like I said, the very last bit, that was cool. Because that was different and sort of just plain strange. And it felt...
Her finding Luke,
but then just that moment of her pulling out, like, the lightsaber that Obi-Wan Kenobi gave Luke in 1977, 4 years before I was born, and then him just sort of looking at her, and he doesn't say anything. I mean, like, yeah, it would have been awesome to have the hero entrance, but that is kind of a good second place.
You know,
they didn't
do a lot. It would have been great if they started kissing.
No.
it ends with a hardcore sex scene. Yeah. And bending her
lower
over.
Lower her head down.
Right, why not?
That would be the biggest of shock ending ever.
Yeah. Well, I keep waiting for
rated
them.
Rated R.
I keep waiting for them to connect, because it's Disney. I keep waiting for them to start connecting to the other franchises. So I was halfway thinking that they would just end with him being like, "Welcome to Earth."
Is that Battlestar Galactica? Yeah.
Why not? Yeah.
Yeah.
But no. I just thought that
Welcome to Earth. That would have been absurd. That would have been so ridiculous.
Right?
And then after the credits, Samuel L. Jackson pops in. And he's like, "We need you for our team."
Yeah. They're crossing the Avengers.
Well, Infinity War is going to be in space.
Yeah. Those movies are so, I'm so tired of those movies, Marvelous movies, man.
Yeah.
I don't even remember the plot of like half of
them. Right. But I don't know. Like, that was just a cool moment because it felt... Like you said, you talk about
Welcome
her...
Welcome to Earth.
You talk about her performance and the way that she looks at that. And you're just like, this is kind of cool. Because, like, ever since I was a kid, like, that was the one thing that was the through line with the Star Wars movies. The first three is this idea of this group of people that were, like, able to, through sort of peacefulness and, like, these monks, they maintained peace and order, and then things fell to shit and they were all murdered off and there was only one left and he was this old guy.
Yeah, it's a good setup.
And then you get to Return, and, like, I was telling you, like, I was surprised. I was watching Return on Christmas Day just doing the work to get through the movies.
You said you were crying.
I didn't cry or anything, but I... But when
that's how you should get us.
But when, yeah, exactly. Christ. It's called hashtag Christerbate.
Yeah.
But then when Yoda's, you know, passing right there, and he says, you know, "You're the last, when I'm gone, the last you will be," and all that, and pass on. there is this moment, you know, where it's like he's in this rainy, shitty planet in this tiny, kind of cozy little space, and, you know, his teacher's gone, and he doesn't have anything else, and he has this realization that his father, someone that's supposed to sort of protect you and help you through the world and be the person you turn to when you don't know what to do, is this entity, this evil, sort of. And it's really powerful. It's really like... Because that's an intense loneliness right there that he's got. And it sort of stays throughout the entire movie. I mean, he figures out that Leia's his sister, but he has to be... He has to separate from her.
That would have made it even more poignant.
And then he has to go deal with his dad. And then
he should have banged his dad, too.
And then when his dad passes, then, you know, he's alone at the pyre there. And then you cut to the new movie, and he's alone again.
It makes sense.
And that sort of solitude, and he failed. And that's the part that 30 years, like, what... He tried at one point, and I really want to know...
He's over. He gave up.
And they're going to show that, but... I think what you're saying is a good point. Is that
and but then the power of her holding that lightsaber to him is like maybe like that goes all the way back to Yoda dying in Return, like that feeling, and it's like maybe something will happen.
Yeah.
But I don't know. What you were saying about his through line.
No, it's a good point that, like, you know, he loses everyone to the point where, like, he's the last one and yada yada yada, and then it makes that ending. Makes sense and makes it powerful. It's
for
good because for seven because you know and I think that's what made it smart that they only showed it in a brief flashback or a couple of brief flashbacks of him failing trying to teach new Jedis or whatever.
Yeah, that was just like a weird kind of hard to put it together. And I heard that I was doing a little reading about it all after I saw it. I guess they used. Ewan McGregor and such, those things she's hearing when she goes to find the light.
Yeah.
I was like, to me, I couldn't piece
anything
out.
They combined, it was very brief, but when they say Rey,
mm-hmm.
It was part of a word that Alec Guinness had said and McGregor had said, and they pieced it together, so it was both of their voices together. So the Obi-Wan Kenobi voice talking to her
mm-hmm.
is both of their voices combined, saying words that were pieced together in editing.
Well, she's probably related to the Kenobis then. Probably not Skywalker's. Skywalker's daughter is a little too easy and a little weird and doesn't work because it would be like you'd have cause anything that's going to have to deal with the 30 years we're not ever going to see is going to be problematic.
They're going to show more of that. I guarantee.
I really don't think
so much that
flashbacky stuff won't work well in Star Wars movies.
They're going to show a 2-minute long sequence in the next one. I guarantee
they might show something, but
once they, because again,
like the secrets are out now. The secrets are out, right? Like, you know, there's no more secrets except for, like, you know, who is who and whatever. So
yeah.
they're going to show it at this.
I guarantee he'll be in the next one a lot. I'm sure.
Oh, maybe. For sure. Yeah.
I mean, we hope so. Or it'll all just be like, well, you've learned all your training in the 3 years since last movie.
So a while ago, you hung out at his house.
Yeah,
and he hates them, right?
And you said he talked. You said he talked about J.J. Abrams.
No.
But you said he mentioned his directorial style or something. He mentioned J.J. or something like that.
It was only like, you never said anything negative.
Well, I didn't say negative, but like, how much did they actually shoot with him? Was he there for a day? What did he shoot?
I think they must have shot more, I think.
I've heard that they did more in Ireland while they were there, so maybe
I think they probably shot stuff for the next one. It's hard to say.
Right.
Yeah, you know, because it's hard to say. I don't know.
I mean, they might cut around all the bitter work and she'll just be a Jedi Master at the beginning of the next one. And he'll be in it for 2 minutes.
And then you'll be so... Then the bitter work will be your work. Because you'll.
Accept it if it happens between things, as long as it had happened. But it would be nice to see some of it. And it would be nice... It's just nice, because that's what character arc's all about. I mean, that's why Skywalker's is so great in those movies. He starts and he's a kid and he can't do anything. And then... The beginning, the hero entrance for him in Return of the Jedi is awesome. He's been crying, had his hand cut off, and his dad beat the shit out of him. And then he just, you know, all these other people at the Jabba Palace, he just comes in, and he uses a Darth Vader move from the get-go on those Gamorrean guards. He chokes them out to get out of his way. He doesn't use a Jedi mind trick and say, like, let me pass.
He's a badass in that,
He was a badass, and he's wearing black. He's not wearing the Jedi robes. And you're like, this is character arc. Like, this is, like, as a kid, like, I understood that. I don't think I've seen very many movies in a franchise really do that for a character where it's like, this character's like a farm boy, doesn't know how to do anything. And so, yeah, you don't need a lot of it. An Empire, you know, he does some flips and lifts some rocks, and Yoda lectures him about stuff. And that, you know now, okay, he's been training. You get the fact that when he's in the cave with the critter, the Wampa or whatever, in the beginning of Empire, and he has to really concentrate to use the Force to get the lightsaber. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a monster. To get the lightsaber, he has to really concentrate to get it to move 2 feet. The fourth one had Leo in it. The third one had Leo in it.
Critter 3.
And so he has to concentrate, but then when he's fighting Vader in Bespin after he almost gets frozen, and he just gets it immediately. Like, that's within the course of that one movie, he's become that much stronger.
Right.
And they illustrate that.
Time had passed,
and training. Yeah.
It
depends if they show the episode, whatever the fuck it is.
Eight. Episode 8.
If it picks up 10 years after, or picks up like a year after, or immediate.
I think they're going to cut around some of it. I think it will pick up with the.
I think they should bring back Irving Kirshner to direct it.
From the Brave. Yeah,
doesn't matter.
Yeah,
doesn't matter.
In honor of Star Wars, I looked at a couple people before we watched it, and we tried to watch the Christmas special. We watched part of Hardware Wars. That's unwatchable.
Written by
the Christmas special. Have you ever tried to watch it?
No, that's the one.
There is literally like a 10 or 15 minutes no dialogue.
No dialogue. Where they're just growling at each other.
Yeah, It starts with it.
Yeah, it starts with them growling at each other with no subtitles.
Uh-huh. For like 10 minutes.
10 minutes. They're just like...
it was like sitcom jokes and music. And like...
It was written by, what's his name? The guy who wrote jokes for the Oscars and shit.
Bruce Blanche.
Blanche.
I saw him in the theater a couple weeks ago. The funny thing was that I would love to see a documentary about... how the hell that got made.
I read an interview.
That would be amazing.
I read an interview with Lynch, and he said like, they were handcuffed, and everything that they said was stupid. They were like, doesn't matter, do it anyway. Like there are people...
Yeah, but who
them.
Was
and
in
like,
charge of it?
Lucas
like,
wasn't involved. It was just, TV people. It was just TV people. But he was involved. He
allowed him to do it.
He allowed him to do it, yeah.
And it's just so baffling.
Bea Arthur's in it.
Bea Arthur's in it. I don't know why she's in
she
it.
She sings a song.
Yeah. I don't know anyone who's finished it. Like, I know lots of people who tried to watch it, and they got 30 minutes
into it. It's like 42 minutes long.
Yeah, you just can't finish it.
Yeah.
I was going to say, you would jump off a cliff, but
I would not bother.
We put a little bit of the Ewoks on, the Ewok Adventure movie.
Yeah, that's right. Wilford Brimley's in it.
I can say those part of the series.
The Caravan of Courage? They take place in the universe. I was thinking about that when I was watching Return, and the Ewoks are there.
Yeah.
And I'm like... there are other movies in this universe, and there are
actually,
Ewoks.
I like the Ewoks.
People give the Ewoks cool. So much crap. They're like everyone like equates them to Jar Jar Binks.
No,
not even close.
Yeah, but you also look at a freeze frame of them.
The Ewoks
they do look
work.
So ridiculous.
Oh, they look stupid. They look stupid. But you know what? They're real people in suits.
Midgets,
right? And yeah, they're midgets. That works. It's fine. It's not CGI like worms and shit.
But they're also. Like it all makes sense too. Like the
fine,
emperor would over over would have oversight.
The fact that they
could
overthrow the heavily trained and armed stormtroopers is stupid.
Well, they use their little weapons, and they don't entirely do that.
Sound effects.
Yeah, but other than that, it's fine.
Too. Yeah,
Whole County. Yeah, so I'll give it a pass.
Del Norte.
It was filmed. No, it was.
Heard that too, somewhere. Abbey of the Giants.
A lot. What's the Mendocino?
Oh, okay.
Abbey of the Giants. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Trees of Mystery, right? Yeah. Anyway, yeah, no, I thought the Ewok stuff is mostly works fine. Yeah, but in this last one...
Let's rate it. Let's hurry up, okay? We got
it's a real tough call for me. I want to give it a
what do you rate out of... How many stars
out
do we do?
Five.
Out of five.
I give it a four, but it's a real...
It's not a four.
Tenuous
not a four.
Four. It's a tenuous
it's
four.
It's a 3.5.
Because it's Star Wars.
It's a
I would give it a 3.75, but...
I can't
I
give it that
give
high.
It
here's the thing. If I'm going to believe that any
it's
of them,
Star Wars, I can't hate.
If I'm going to
I gave the prequels like 2.5.
If I'm going to believe
hate
that,
Star Wars.
You know what? I'm going to give it even lower. If I'm going to believe any of them are going to be better than this, I have to give this a 3.
Oh.
3, 3.5. That's
what? You can give this one a 4, you can give the next one a 5, and you give the next one a 4.5.
Nope.
That's probably what I would do. Huh? If they suck, they suck.
I believe the next one will be better. They set up the characters.
I'm going to give this one a 3. And I say that...
Only a 3?
Yeah.
Ouch.
It's the same as watching, like, Lockout with Guy Pearce.
Yeah. That's
a good movie. It was enjoyable. Rough. It was enjoyable.
Really?
I'm going to give it a 3. Yeah.
Wait. Give it a 3. I mean, not even comparing it to the other ones. Like, what do you
I'm comparing it to Lockout.
What do you compare it to?
At the Prison Planet one?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty good. John Carpenter sued them.
Satellite, yeah. He did. Do it in the U.S. Yeah. He did it in, like, Paris or something.
Yeah. That's dumb. Blatant
plagiarism. Yeah. Oh, that's such bullshit,
it just came from New York.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
all it is, except for in yeah. space. That's stupid. There's only like 10 plots in the world. Point, right? Why does he get to sue them?
I know people that have, like, done pitches where they literally, like, everybody likes the premise of Point Break. So Fast and the Furious is literally just almost a scene-for-scene remake of Point Break.
Right.
So everybody does that, so it's like, you know, it'd be a little annoying, you know?
Did you see the thing in,
Wait, Luke's, what do you give it?
Right. I give it 3.5.
3.5, 3, and 4. I'm the only true Star Wars fan.
What, so a fan has to be less
apologist.
Critical, bro?
Apologist,
yeah, that's what you're
I was the most critical on the podcast.
You're a John Wilkes Booth fan who was like, you know what? I'm not so upset with his decision.
He had his perspective.
I don't know, man.
The Harvey Oswald. He had some.
I don't think that makes any sense. I don't think what you're saying right now.
Nothing I say ever makes any
makes
sense.
Makes any sense.
What was I talking about, though?
The Point Break remakes.
Oh, so that remake looks so stupid.
I kind of want to see it. Like, I want to see it too. It looks
so bad. And who the hell are the actors?
Who are
those guys? I've never seen them before.
It's a bunch of extreme sports. It'd be cheaper to just hire guys that could do that stuff, probably.
Like the stupid parkour movies?
Right,
like D13 and stuff like that?
Why not?
Brick Mansions?
Paul Walker would have been great.
Yeah.
Rest in peace.
You know what? What's that one he was in that was good by Wayne Kramer?
Running Scared.
He was good in the
He was fine. He was fine. Yeah.
It's weird. It's only because he did Fast and the Furious that he was...
But, you know, we talked about this before, but he played a person who was scared very well. Like, someone who was, like running for
a
his life.
A regular guy that's in the middle of something crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, you talk about that concept of, like, the unflappable hero or whatever.
Yeah.
And, like, you apply that to him. And even in those Fast and Furious movies, he's supposed to be the cool, pretty boy, but he was out of his element, and he would get confused, and he would make mistakes. And, like, when he has to call in and... break his cover because somebody's shot in the first one, and there's this, like, you know, like, that's, you know, it's like Daniel
right.
Craig
you're,
in the
you're
first
right
one.
About the, you know what's funny about the shot-for-shot remake of Point Break is that the career comparison for him has always been Keanu Reeves.
Yeah.
But you know what's funny is that, like, the older Keanu Reeves gets, the more I respect him. And, like, John Wick and stuff like that. Like,
he
knows his limitations, and he just plays in those movies. That's it. He's
Knock.
I didn't see that. Was that good? Eli Roth?
Yeah, I want to see that. I think Keanu Reeves is great in the right role. He's really good in the right role. If you give him, like, he's good at playing like a normal kind of guy, like, who's stoic.
You know what his thing is? I don't think he has tons of range, but you give him a thing and he just does it and he plays it and he plays it with, like, just goes straight ahead.
Has he tried a crazy role that went bad? I'm trying to think. I think of, like, Bram Stoker's Dracula. It wasn't that great.
But that's because he's plays a California
Has he ever tried to do a hard role that didn't work out for him? I'm trying to think.
I mean, like, people make fun of his roles in, like, Devil's Advocate and stuff like that. But it's just...
It's not like
anytime he has to yell and get angry, it's not necessarily believable.
It's kind of like Mark Wahlberg, though, right? Like, Mark Wahlberg, he can be really, really good in something. But most of the movies he chooses to make are not that risk-taking. But, like, he's amazing.
You know what's funny is, that, like, if you look...
He was good in Pain and Gain.
Yeah,
all that stuff. I think Boogie Nights is fantastic because he pushes him to get, like, really mad in parts.
Yeah.
And he looks so crazy and stupid when he's mad. Like, it's perfect. You know what's funny is he's kind of short.
Yeah.
So, like, no matter how muscly he gets, whatever, he just looks like a little retard, kind of.
Yeah.
And so it works so well for that movie.
Jack.
Yeah.
I'm in the state of California. That movie is easily my top 3.
I've told so many people to watch that over the past couple of years.
Yeah.
And every person who's seen it for the first time is like, That was so good. Yeah. I was like, I'm not joking, man. That's like seriously one of the best movies I've ever seen in my life. My
top three favorite movies. It's so good. Taxi Driver.
Oh, I love Taxi Driver. Yeah.
Probably my top.
Oh yeah,
two.
And then Star Wars Episode 7.
The Christmas special, actually.
The Christmas
5, special. 4, and 3 stars. Right.
That would be actually like an amazing. Somebody should program like a Star Wars marathon where they show everything associated with Star Wars. The Christmas special, the Ewoks.
You couldn't sit through that shit, man. That's so much. They do those 24-hour marathons where like people sit through a movie, like sit through that many movies in a theater. I could never do that, man.
Never.
I couldn't do that.
I've done. They have a thing at AFI called Rio Grit, and they have it once a year. And like a visiting AFI alumni will come in and show one movie they choose.
Yeah.
So last year they had John McTiernan, and they had like a bunch of other just like they'll have an editor. DC,
he's still kicking, huh?
He's a character. He's a little rough around the edges. Yeah. Came in and showed it, like he brought a print of McCabe and Mrs. Miller.
Nice.
And tons of stuff that I hadn't seen. That was awesome. Like, because I hadn't seen anything they showed. They showed some stuff I should have seen, like A Year of Living, you know, what was the
Dangerous.
Year of Living Dangerous, and they showed Lovers on the Bridge, that French movie. But that was like literally 5 or 6 movies. And everybody's like, there's like food trucks that show up there, and it's free. So there's some cool stuff like that in LA.
Well, like, have you ever gone to a film festival?
Yeah.
And then you kind of you get a break.
You get fatigued, though.
You do. I can probably.
They're terrible for the most part. Let's call it to be honest.
I could maybe do 5 if I had chances to.
I like the idea of somebody showing stuff that they know is good and you haven't seen, stuff like that. Like Patton Oswalt does those things when he programs at the New Beverly or whatever.
Yeah, I've been to a bunch.
And
what we saw was that we got in a kind of a weird night. Your buddy Max Landis was there with his daddy. And Patton Oswalt and Joe Dante were there. Yeah. Joe Dante was kind of like, well, can I talk now? Because Patton Oswalt was kind of doing his thing. And it was like, the Dr. T thing was kind of funny, but kind of tedious. And
it was tough. Yeah.
And then the Japanese anthology thing was cool, but those anthology movies and being a Japanese movie, so it was like probably 20 minutes too long. And anthologies are always tricky because like if you're not into one, then you're like waiting for it to be over, so then maybe the next one will be good.
It's
fatiguing. I remember you leaning over to me and you're like, I think we're going to go after this one ends. Yeah. And I was like, I'm about ready to.
Well, because there's a... the thing is, like, a lot of those, like, movies are really kind of boring, too. Like, sometimes they'll be filmed... Somebody that loves
it. I'm just thinking of when, like...
But to sit and watch it in
Oswalt,
the theater, it's different than, like, you can
Oswalt on Twitter has talked about times when he's programmed stuff there. And he did one night that was all... He did, like, 5... Walter Matthau crime movies from the
70s. Right, no, that would be
like,
awesome.
Like,
I know,
you know, stuff like that.
Did you do Hopscotch?
I don't remember. Oh, by the way, before I forget, you can edit this out, it doesn't matter. I started watching Kill la Kill. It is fucking badass.
It's pretty
that
cool.
That is the best, it's an anime. That is the most insane,
that's pretty weird,
ape shit thing I've ever seen.
How far have you gotten? I haven't finished it yet.
Episode 5.
I haven't finished it
it's
yet.
It's so, and it's like porn, really. Like, it's so much of it's just like fixating on these girls' bodies as their uniforms come on and stuff like that.
Well, that's an anime trope from years ago, though.
Ape shit with the action and stuff like that. It's that director. That director is insane.
Yeah.
And you know what's funny is that I was looking into him. So obviously Gurren Lagann, yada yada yada.
Same director or is
same director?
Is it just Gainax?
Same director.
Okay.
The new company is Trigger. And he created it.
But just to get back to the whole like body thing, that's like the transformation sequence stuff like goes way back. Like,
I understand that.
You get that that's like
but
a joke.
I've watched a lot of anime at this point, and there's not so much fixating on like tits and ass as uniforms.
Well, the whole thing is about clothing.
Anyway, I understand that.
Weird fetish.
Right? But it's a weird idea. I just thought you were changed.
But years and years ago, I watched that OVA Dead Leaves.
Right.
Same director.
Yeah,
he created that when he was super young.
Yeah.
So all the super psycho out there animation stuff. And what's funny is that I was reading some criticisms, almost no criticism of it, but the only criticism is there was a lot of limitations in the budget, which meant that the animation wasn't... So they had a lot of like those still scenes. That's his style. That's what he did in Gurren Lagann.
Yeah,
like,
if you use it right, I mean, that's anime for... It's become an anime style.
But that guy's my new favorite, man. He's awesome. All his stuff is so good. And the other one, did you ever watch... So, the one he made in between those that's supposedly great that I never watched also was Garter's... Panty Belt Garter
oh, no,
Stocking
I
whatever.
I have no interest in that.
And him. So he made it with the same team that made Gurren Lagann. They went on vacation after Gurren Lagann. It was him and like 15 dudes.
Right.
And they got really drunk and they came up with the idea. And they're like, yeah, let's make that.
Yeah.
And so then they went and made it. That's awesome.
That's funny in principle, but I don't know what I'm going to... I mean, it didn't look interesting to me.
You seen Tim Heidecker, Decker? Have you seen that?
Yeah, I've seen Decker. Yeah, Decker's so good. Yeah.
The same thing. He went on vacation and shot something.
Yeah, that happened.
Did
you guys see Ocean's 12? That was pretty much the same thing.
Yeah, exactly.
They all went on vacation in Europe.
So Heidecker works with Greg Turkington, this Neil Hamburger.
Yeah.
So the director who made the comedy...
Yeah.
Made that new
entertainment.
Movie.
That's
entertainment.
I heard that was
that's supposed to be really hard to watch.
I saw it a couple weeks. It's like the guy's just trying to mess with you with the comedy.
Yeah, right.
It's the same thing. I thought it was cool. Tim Eichert is cool.
Right. Greg Turkington, for some reason, follows me on Twitter. I don't know why.
Yeah, that's
good. But his persona on Twitter is the funniest thing because it's his own personal account.
That's the director?
No, that's the guy who plays Neil Hamburger.
Doesn't he follow everyone, though, or something we're saying?
No, he follows, like, 50 people, and I'm one of them for some reason.
Well,
he's got, like, 15,000 followers or whatever. But I don't know why. But so his actual persona as himself, so all he's ever played himself in was the comedy. Otherwise, he just plays Neil Hamburger. And then himself is Greg Turkington. But Heidecker and him have this show called On Cinema.
Yeah.
And it sounds like it's this academic thing. And basically, it's them reviewing movies, and they give every movie, they rate it from 1 to 5 bags of popcorn. That's their rating level. And they give every movie 5 bags of popcorn. And then they add, like, additional things to it, because, like, they're playing, like, movie nuts. But Heidecker, over the years, has gotten more and more, he plays, like, I'm dealing with other stuff now. Like, I'm making big money, like, I can't do this. And so, like, he keeps, like, trying to legally block Turkington from, like, posting things under the On Cinema thing. And they just, like, fight over Twitter, but it's all, like,
it's
like a joke.
Yeah.
It's all staged. But, like, Turkington was in Ant-Man.
Yeah.
In, like, a brief role. And Heidecker went and begged to be in Fantastic Four so they could fight over it. And he was in it for, like, a minute.
He was the dad.
Yeah,
he was
right.
Reed Richards' dad.
Yeah, right, right. Right. And so they bitch at each other about which movie made more money all the time, and they get the directors of the movies involved on Twitter, like, what's his name, Reed, whatever.
Peyton Reed.
Yeah, Peyton Reed.
And director. Josh Trank?
Right, yeah. And they get them involved in these Twitter arguments over which movie made more money, and who's, like, a legitimate actor and all this stuff. And Greg Turkington talks about, I forget where he lives, like, Vacaville or something like that, and he talks about the Vacaville Film Archive, and he posts stuff about how he's setting new Guinness World Records watching 500 movies in 500 days. And people are always like, the world record's like 6,000 movies by some lady. He's like, that was never officially confirmed.
Right.
And so he posts these movies that he's watching all the time, and he claims they're always on VHS, and they're just like the worst shit, like starring Brooke Shields from like 1997 and stuff like that.
Film stuff?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Great documentary.
I watched that, that was good.
Tim Heidecker is like the funniest. Their whole style is like the funniest.
Yeah.
That's good.
Eric Andre.
That's good,
I
but it's a, when it's applied the right way, that stuff is really funny.
It's like,
when
it
gets
like
too...
Well, it's just weird.
I don't believe that term.
Meta.
It's like liking something ironically. I think that there's an element of that that's true, but I think ultimately you like something.
I think they
I think ultimately you're trying to be funny.
They fight
not.
That anti-humor thing. Norm MacDonald and him were talking about it, and Norm MacDonald said, like, I'm sorry people call you, like, anti-humor, because I understand what you're doing, and there's nothing you're doing that isn't legitimately trying to be funny.
Right.
And he was like, thank you. Like, that's what I've been trying to do for like 15 years. It's like, nothing I've ever done has been trying not to be funny to be funny.
No, but I think it's weird how people get really, like, fixated on somebody, like, assigning a label to them. Like, what does it matter? Like,
I know.
Clearly people like your stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
It's laugh out.
You,
to me,
you have a career because of what you're doing.
But Tim Heidecker is one of the funniest guys.
It's
like,
fantastic.
It's because his jokes, I wouldn't pretend to know what he has in his head, but to me, it's just constantly making fun of bad humor is what he's doing.
Right.
So it puts this weird spin on it.
Sure.
That he's making all the jokes are, the reason I say meta is that all the jokes are built off your perception to it.
Yeah. Which sometimes gets a little...
Ian hates it. Ian hates
I like it.
Ian
I
hates
like
him.
It sometimes.
Ian hates
have
all
you seen Decker? Decker's
I've
great.
Seen some of it. I like a lot of that.
You see Decker versus Dracula?
Yeah.
but at some point it becomes like... It becomes,
not happening, actually.
At some point it's like one note, and you can only sort of beat that one note so long,
yeah.
You know? Like, so... That I mean, I totally understand that. It's so it's
yeah.
like when they're not doing making fun of other people's hokey comedy, are they doing stuff that's actually kind of funny in its own right? And then I mean, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
I like I said, about 40% of what I've seen from Tim and Eric I thought was really, really funny.
Yeah.
I think about 20% of it is brutally tedious. Like
yeah.
you guys didn't know how to end this sketch, so you just decided to use bad effects
yeah.
and make be obnoxious. And like we, and that's just like their wheelhouse. They go to that too much.
Minivan, a minivan. It's called Minivan Highway, where it's like the song. It's a group of guys that it's like a band that are playing a song about a minivan.
Is that?
And
is
they're
it,
playing on their they're playing the music on their computer.
Is it one of the sketches?
It's a generic.
I've
sketch.
Seen a good number of
yeah,
sketches.
It's so funny.
Yeah.
They have Mr. World's Best Looking Male one that's
right.
amazing. Where it's just. It's just so funny.
No,
I love their stuff, man.
I think a bit's good.
Yeah.
Ian's a hater.
No, I'm not a hater. I just think you can only go so far mocking inferior stuff before
Ian is a contrarian.
You have to do your own
thing. So if people like things, he's like, whoa. You guys like this thing that I haven't seen yet? I think I'm gonna hate it. And then he watches it and he's
okay,
like, I confirmed my prejudices.
Right.
I hate it.
Right. Okay. Fine. We'll
remember?
No.
I think the funniest thing I've ever seen was a. It was like I've been looking around for it for years. It's a Palestinian propaganda video that someone made where they had these. It was like it was incredibly anti-Semitic, and it had these like people dressed up as Jewish people stealing their land. But it was done almost, it was like, it's supposed to be serious, but it was done like a Dave Chappelle skit. And it's just like...
Did you see the one about the Muslims that was made that way?
In the sense of Muslims, I mean the movie?
Yeah, it was...
The Benghazi thing, basically?
No, I don't think it was Benghazi. It was set like a long time ago. It was supposed to be like, you know, the history of the Muslims. It was made by some... American racist, but he hired like Arabic actors.
It's like a green screen. So,
yeah.
yeah,
yeah.
That's a movie that they claimed that initially sparked the Benghazi attack. It really wasn't that. It was like, you know, like they claimed that movie.
The guy who directed it probably said that. He's like, oh, yeah.
I mean, they actually threw him in jail for a little bit for some reason. Yeah, no, that's an interesting story. I tried to watch it. It was
stupid. It was like green screen PBS
yeah.
kids show stuff. Like
yeah,
people saying on a stage, "Like oh.
it's almost becoming like it's getting old." That there's like you see The Room, right? Like,
yeah.
But now, like people.
There's a movie about
The
Room coming out.
Yeah, the Franco one.
Yeah.
There's always new movies about like the Dangerous Men, the movie I mentioned, or Miami Connection.
Yeah.
Miami Connection
was good. Was actually.
Yeah.
You know what's funny is that.
My father.
We watch a lot of really shitty movies. I got him this thing called the, what is it? What's this guy's name?
YK Kim?
No.
From
Sedaris.
Oh, yeah, the Sedaricon.
So what was the guy's name?
Yeah, Andy Sedaris. I've seen a bunch of them.
So
you,
I got him
with us
yeah.
with the skateboard.
Yeah, so I got him
Zuka.
the whole collection. And they are so bad.
Yeah.
Miami Connection was way better than any of
those.
Those are still not that bad. They're still kind of
there's
watchable.
A couple of them.
There's a first one, though. I actually like the first.
The
Miami
second
Connection.
One. The second one is Miami Connection. The first
yeah.
one
Miami
is
Miami Connection
is
was
not,
decent, yeah.
Is
the one
not,
where the guy...
I like the first one.
The one they back up the truck and hit
yeah.
the guy on the skateboard up the
yeah.
end and shoots him with a rocket launcher.
There's a... It's called Things. And they recently released it on VHS edition. It's this Canadian horror movie. It's absurd. It's just funny. Like, I actually recently saw one that was pretty funny. Maniac Cop 2 was pretty funny.
Oh, yeah.
That's
those
an
are
amazing
all good. I
line
like
where
Maniac
this
Cop.
Girl got murdered. This guy's like, yeah, I was here. She always knew the latest jokes.
Bruce Campbell was in the first
yeah.
one.
Yeah. I think he's in this one, too.
He's in the second one, too? No.
Maniac Cop 2. She always knew the latest jokes.
So there's another thing that guy directed I looked into. The anime guy.
The Gurren Lagann guy?
So after Dead Leaves, Gurren Lagann, He did an internet-only anime, a web-only anime, called Inferno Cop.
Oh, okay.
It's a cop whose family was killed by the mob, his head is always on fire, and it's supposedly like the most... he has a gun, everything he shoots just explodes,
right.
And he goes to seek his family's murderers, and it's supposed to be like insane.